Monday, 31st week, Ordinary Time 2. First reading from the letter to the Philippians, chapter 2, verses 1 to 4. If there is any encouragement in Christ, any solace in love, any participation in the Spirit, any compassion and mercy, complete my joy by being of the same mind, with the same love, united in heart, thinking one thing. Do nothing out of selfishness or out of vain glory, rather humbly regard others as more important than yourself, each looking out not for its own interests, but also everyone for those of others. Second, the Gospel according to Luke, chapter 14, verses 12 to 14. Then he said to the host who invited him, when you hold a lunch or a dinner, do not invite your friends or your brothers or your relatives or your healthy neighbors, in case they may invite you back and you have repayment. Rather, when you hold a banquet, invite the poor, the crippled, the lame, the blind. Blessed indeed will you be because of their inability to repay you, for you will be repaid at the resurrection of the righteous. Sharing of the reading, first the theme. Live according to Christ's spirit of charity. Many people carefully think before they do any volunteer or charitable works in community. They calculate to see that if these works can bring any benefit for them or their family. For example, giving out with a hope to get back something, giving alms to attract attention, attending someone's funeral mass with a hope that their relatives shall also be present in their funeral mass, etc. Today, reading suggests people to completely change the selfish calculation. In the first reading, St. Paul listed out four necessary attitudes and their corresponding important works to live according to Christ's perfect charity. In the Gospel, Jesus advised people to do good deeds to those who are unable to return favor in this world, so that God shall return favor for them in the next life. Second analysis, first reading. Do nothing out of selfishness or out of vain glory. Saint Paul had so many experiences about jealousy, contention, and division in the community which he established. So, what he was worrying is to convince his faithful to discard bad habits which were so deep in their life. He found the only key to solve the problems is the faith in Christ. According to the sentence structure, he used continuously for if clauses and the four resort clauses, which are corresponding with the four if clauses. To easily analyze, we need to separate them, fill them with the phrase complete my joy, and put them in right order. First, if there is any encouragement in Christ, complete my joy by being of the same mind. According to St. Paul, all the faithful are the members of the one body, which is the church, which Christ is the head. If the body can have only one head, being of the same mind, it is necessary. Second, any solace in love, complete my joy by being with the same love. Recent love originates from God and comes to earth from Christ. Jesus himself confessed this when he said, "As the Father hath loved me, so have I loved you. Abide in my love." See John chapter 15, verse 9. Then Jesus demanded his disciples, "This is my commandment, love one another as I love you." See John chapter 15, verse 12. So there is only one love, agape, which comes from God. Third, if any participation in the Spirit, complete my joy by being united in heart. If people are united in Holy Spirit, they shall be united in heart. This great word is composed by sum, which means together, with, and sukkot, which means spirit. If all the faithful follow the Holy Spirit guidance, they shall be in harmony and united in one spirit. The spirit of teamwork and patriotism are examples of this unity. Fourth, if any compassion and mercy, complete my joy by being thinking one thing. The verb yielded here is the same verb used in one, which is phroneo. The difference is that the author yielded the verb at present participle and added the adjective an, which means one. St. Paul might want to emphasize that there is only one head, which is Christ, in one, and there is only one body in four. St. Paul wanted to advise the Philippians that if they were assimilated to Christ's body, they have a duty to build up his body by doing nothing out of selfishness or out of vain glory. Rather, humbly regard the other as more important than yourself, each looking out not for his own interest, but also everyone for those of others. The gospel, do good deeds to those who have nothing to pay you back. Third point, true way of living, justice or mercy. First, according to human justice, a bit for a bit. If someone gives you a stone, we must give him back a lead. Jesus gave us a practical example. When people organize a dinner or a banquet, they yield to invite their friends, brothers and sisters, or the rich with the hope that they will be also invited by them or to receive something from them. This way of behaving is poorly virtuous. Second, according to Charity of Jesus' Disciples, when you give a feast, invite the poor, the maimed, the lame, the blind, and you will be blessed, because they cannot repay you. You will be repaid at the resurrection of the just. Second point. Why must we help those who have nothing to pay back? Because we also receive the rates and gifts from people whom we did not have anything to pay back. If we look back at our past, we will recognize we have received many of help from first God. He gave us the most precious gift of life. Let us enjoy many things which our hands did not make them. Forgive our sins against Him, and keep sending those who help us both of our spiritual and material needs. What did we do to return all His favors to us? Second, Arthur, we owned many things from our grandparents, parents, brothers and sisters, teachers, friends, and benefactors. As a refugee, if not for the country who opened their arms to settle us, or the help of charitable organizations during our first days in the foreign country, how could we have a stable life as right now? What did we do to pay back their helps? Due to all the grace and blessing we have received in our life, we must help those who are in need. Moreover, God counts what we did to others as we did to Him, so that He could reward us the eternal life. Third point. Doing good deeds for the poor is doing for God. We are fortunate people because Jesus revealed to us the standard which He shall yield to us on the last day, which is to help the unfortunate. Amen, I say to you, whatever you did for one of the least brothers of mine, you did for me. He will answer them, Amen, I say to you, what you did not do for one of the least ones, you did not do for me. See Matthew chapter 25, verses 40 and 45. Therefore, we can say with certainty that charity is the decided factor for us to enter heaven or to be condemned forever. Application in life. To live in perfect charity, we must let Christ permeate our whole being, from thinking, reasoning, to acting. To give our free of charge, we must often reflect to know what we have received free of charge from God and others. To be able to help all people, We must learn to see God in others. We should never forget that charity is God's standard to judge the earth on the last day. If we know the standard beforehand and still do not follow, we choose to be condemned. Amen.